to Rev It Up with John and Jess coming at you from the 61st annual Autorama World of Wheels in Milwaukee.
And we're glad to have a good friend of ours back. We've been chatting with you all weekend. You've done some great work for us. The famous, to me it is, Aurelius, Keith Eccles, world famous pinstripe
painter. Welcome, welcome.
Thank you.
You've been hanging with us for a while now. We kind of got the little collaboration with you going on with the Evel Knievel Empire that we have going on.
And that's awesome.
Got to sit down and have some steak dinners with you out in California if you're filming.
I saw pictures. That's all I get.
Pictures. Yeah. So, well, you don't want to go. You never want to go. Well,
could have brought it back a doggy bag. Yeah, doggy bag.
Yeah, you've had plenty of time to catch up with Keith now. I think he's been hanging out with you more than anybody else.
You know what? I'm going to say this right off the bat. Like, I've talked to you on the phone, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But when I met you, you have like this calming presence. You are a joy to be around.
Well,
you're an upstanding guy. I enjoy your company. Well, glad you're here.
I'm just old. That's like, I don't.
Either way, it works.
The thing is, I always say you got to earn your seat in this business, you know?
For sure.
Like, I definitely done that. And now it's like the old guy sitting in the easy chair in the background. Nice. You know, I love it.
Yeah.
Life goals for me.
Right?
Yeah. Well, it's forced on you, really.
Yeah.
When you get older, you're just like, okay, I give up.
I can't wait for John to be forced into a corner and just sit there and observe.
I was just like John, man. I was like,
really?
Yeah. And my wife's just like you, were doing nonstop.
Really?
Yeah. All we've done, my kids grew up in shows, you know, in the back of a Chevy van.
Okay.
Yeah.
And we were going.
All the time, right?
Yeah. Oh, make sure Keith and Marcy are here because they do all the work, you know.
Right.
But then you just get, either a spiritual or a mortality check when you get older. You know, it's like, okay, I'm just going to enjoy this ride, you know?
Yeah. And it's so good that I knew about you for years, obviously, because I'm in this world of what you've been doing, and you work with tons of famous celebrities before already.
Oh yeah.
And I mean, and you've been on with those and doing stuff like that for sure. And then, you know, to have you honored at doing a couple bikes for us.
Yeah,
and one of the biggest reasons why you're here today, when we brought you to Milwaukee, is because yesterday we unveiled, of course, Robbie Knievel's Captain Knievel bike to his daughter, and it was just an epic moment, you know.
Oh, it was an emotional, great moment, really.
I could barely hear it, and even I was tearing up because I'm a huge sap, so I'm just like,
well, yeah, there were tears shed, and it was, you know, I mean, it means a lot. We're dealing with history here.
Yeah,
you know?
it's epic, man.
And that particular bike, I wanted to keep every dent and ding in it, you know.
I think you kind of need to. Right?
Absolutely, yeah. Because I mean, it's history. I don't want to cover that up and make it look brand new. You know,
I think is this. You know, as I'm looking across the, you know, I just look across our thing. You know, where I'm looking at, like all of us got our tattoos. You know, we always, it kind of goes back to the old saying of the, you know, the Vietnam vets and you know, and the old songs of, you know, anything that David Allan Coe would say. You know, scars and tattoos, man. And I mean, people wear them, vehicles wear them, history wears them. So why take it away? Why restore it? Some things I get it that people want to find out the archives and restore them. I mean, it's what we do. We restore things all the time. But parts of history, like the bike that's jumped 150 feet, world record holder and stuff, you don't want to take out the dings and scratches, just as the leather is sitting here. And again, to me, somebody is like this, it still seems surreal to me that we're sitting next to the president of greatness.
Yeah.
It does. Some days it doesn't sink in, and some days it just hits me. Like yesterday when you unveiled the bike.
Yeah.
You know, we're all big, rough, gruff bike guys. You know, you grew up as a biker. We all this other stuff. And all of a sudden, somebody has turned you into a three-year-old baby.
I know.
And all of a sudden, you just start crying like a sap. And I'm like, oh, man.
Well, the preservation of who we are, I think, is extremely important. And and those, and especially in the car world and all of that, you know, you know, history. All we tried to do with that bike is we just tried to refresh it.
Yeah.
You know, we just refreshed it. I didn't want to, like I said, I didn't want to change anything. It kind of actually has a spirit of its own, you know.
Oh, for sure.
And then to have his daughter here and KK and just watch the tears. I mean, you know, and I have all daughters myself. So
yeah, like, we share that in common. Yeah,
I have a lot of daughters.
They have daughters. Right?
Yeah, exactly.
And granddaughters. We don't
know how that goes. Granddaughters. Yeah. Even my dog's a girl. So it's like, but I'm so blessed, and it's just really, you know, to be able to do that for her, and and you guys provide the situation to do it. Holy cow, man! This has been an honor and a privilege.
It's, and like I said, it's even, you know, to me, it's just because of growing up in the industry that I did, with having my father and my brother kind of forefront all this stuff. And even to sit here as now calling you a friend of mine that we've talked on for hours on the phone about this nonsense stuff, you know, and it's so great. Sometimes it doesn't even seem like it's real to me. It's surreal that we've done and shared these things. And now it's like epic moments where my friends are like, oh my God, I saw you on Facebook. Even every morning we get somebody says they follow us on Facebook. And now I don't want to say I take it secondhand because it comes so often, and you've got it for years too.
Yeah.
You know, I think even Jess had it in the beginning when she would say, because, oh my gosh, if I hear another person say that I saw you on Facebook or follow you on Facebook. Yeah. And then it all changed one day when somebody came up to us, walked right by me, and they went right by Jess. She goes, oh my gosh, they said I follow you on Facebook. Yeah. And I'm like, well, look at there, you know,
I'm like,
but it's so fun, but it's so fun bringing out the true meaning of this industry. It's just more than the motors and the paint and the glass. It's the relationships that we build. You and I talk about this all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
Even this morning, sitting in the hotel room before breakfast. It's a relationship we build on anybody, how we can get partners with everybody. And it's business and it's all as fun as that. But relationships that we can do of just talking about, you know, sitting bullshitting about a bike on Facebook.
Yeah.
Oh, we should have bought this bike. We should have, you know, it would have been a lot easier to delivering a bike. There's no clutch cable. We'll get it ready. Yeah, we'll figure it out when we get there, you know, do whatever like that. It's still cool.
You know, it's all hindsight, you know, how we could have done it and all that stuff. I wish, you know, it seems like it's really clear and we should have done it this way, should have done it that way, but it worked out the way it is, and it's perfect the way it is.
You know? And now we have a story.
Yeah. I'm pretty excited. We got a couple more surprises for Detroit and for Lake City and some more things coming up. It's going to be fun. And it's just an honor and a privilege to be with both of you.
Thanks.
And I love your podcast. I mean, you close your eyes and listen to it. It sounds like I was telling you.
Like an actual real life show.
Yeah, it does. It's super cool.
And that is... And again, well, Jess will even remember this too. It's like when we first started doing this, it was just because obviously, you know, I'll admit it firsthand. I'm a talker. You know that.
I can talk
to anybody. I can get lost for directions and I can talk for 2 hours to find a car or something.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, we just started doing this and it was fun because people like hearing us.
Oh, yeah.
We thought, oh, should we do it more and more? And next thing you know, turn into this room and, you know, we got celebrities asking us, can we sit in your podcast? I'm like, yeah, sure, man. It's really weird. I mean, even yesterday with Jesse James, I was like, that was his first thing. He goes, man, I came down to sit in your podcast. I'm like, holy cow, man. Jesse James Dupree from Jackal. That was pretty cool. And same with you. It's just so cool, man.
Yeah, it was great to meet him. That was really cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, there's a lot of things. This is what's the beauty of what you're doing here is like, I think Evel Knievel has touched so many lives for so long. And there's so much rumor and so much. And then to, you know, to talk to all the folks that you've had visiting and all that.
Yeah,
with true history and stories, you know, behind it.
Yeah,
I think that's the most interesting thing in the world. You know,
I love, and I'll call home and I'll talk to Jess if she's on the road with me. And I think, me as a kid, I loved it as the toys and his stuff on ABC Wide World of Sports. But now, going on tour, this has opened up a whole new world for me.
Yeah,
of just how many people's his lives have touched.
Oh, it's insane. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. And like I said, still to me, it's still Jess, and she's as about as patriot as you can get it. And we got I only had one controversy. We're setting up the display with American flags, but he was the real American hero.
Well, yeah, I totally agree. I mean, I had the honor to go over to the Harley Museum here in Milwaukee, and there's a replica of Evel Knievel's
bike
clear up in the air, you know. I mean,
it's cool, man.
He's there, and that's a holy grail for a lot of people to come here and see.
And they don't even, I mean, that's a replica.
Yeah, I know.
It's like, and they go through it. And then, so when we got this going on, and I kind of got the news that we could put this tour on, that was one thing. And then, week after week, then, oh, you're going to work with Keith Echols, you can work with Thomas Estrada, you can work with this guy. And it would just, it didn't seem real to me for a while. So I was just going through, and then all of a sudden, meeting you guys at first at Shutton's place and now getting to talk to you guys hand in hand and we talk all the time now, you know, it's great. But it still is just amazing to me on how many people and how many lives it touched. And even right now we're watching the booth and there's, you know, there's thousands of people here today in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Yeah. And it's a Sunday, it's usually a slow day, but we've got everybody going on. I mean, you got some girl dressed up in red, white, and blue with a cape on. It's just awesome. I
already got my picture taken.
You did? You already got your picture taken?
Yes.
But I mean, to see the kids and what it's touched from people in the motorsports world and even going down to looking at the vintage toys that are brought from our own private collection to see these kids' face on it. It's just so cool. I mean, it's just, I wouldn't change it for the world.
No, and it's, and again, I can't tell you guys how thankful I am, you know, to include me in all this. You know, it's just really, It's I've been included in a lot of really cool projects through the years, and this one's right up there. It's fun, and I know I've done this for 46 years. I know the effort that it takes to pull this off. So I mean, I've been there. I totally, and so I thank you for Bruce Lee, all your efforts. But you guys are still young. Pull this shit off.
Well, my mind is young. My body might say.
Yeah. Some days I feel like a train wreck. Man,
it gets way worse. I promise you.
Nothing to look forward to.
That's what we're told about. And you know,
a lot of my buddies are veterans and Vietnam guys, and even if they weren't near in your 70s and 80s, I just bow down to everyone. I respect them so much because. Yeah. You know, I'm on late 60s, and it's like, oh my God, how do you guys even get up in the morning?
Well, I've been wanting to ask you all this weekend, how did you get your start in pinstriping?
Well, actually, I was the very beginnings, I was working the Gulf Coast, Panama City, Mobile, Alabama, and places like that, just airbrushing t-shirts. Mm-hmm. And then I thought that was the coolest thing in the world back then. I mean, you go to work in your flip flops and shorts, and that's it, you know.
Spray painting on a beach.
Yeah, and then everybody's painting. Back then, that was in the late 70s, and Quaaludes were a big thing back then. And I was,
man.
I mean, it was the greatest job in the world where you could go to work high and make money and walk out, you know.
Oh, that is awesome. Yeah. That is. It seems like everybody, and then again, I mean, interrupt, I'll keep going, but it seems like everybody who's in the painting industry, do whatever, I'm like, man, you guys are so good.
Oh, we got a hit.
Like, yeah, they're like, yeah, we're hired 24 hours a day. Like, we could keep going.
Fifth of whiskey, and he'll come to your place and do anything you want. Get them there, and if they're sober, it'll be great, you know.
Yeah.
That's definitely falling around.
Oh, my God.
Around.
It's.
But no, it's, and then from there I was painting, got into sign painting, and then the sign painting, the pinstriping was just kind of an embellishment, you know, for a frame or whatever. And then people started asking me to do a letter their roundy round dirt track cars.
Oh, that
down there. And I had a great time. I still got a picture of the very first car I ever lettered.
Well, that's cool.
And, that's really cool.
And I thought, man, I'm so good at this. Like, but then I look, look at those pictures today. I'm going, holy shit, the guy really paid me. That's the worst thing I've ever seen in my life.
Make a career out of
that. I mean, really, I'm so good at it. Yeah, you're going back and forth and doing stuff. And I think one of the things we're going to touch base on, because obviously I know you got the same thing with you. You got to catch your flight, and we've been doing stuff all weekend. But one of the things I just want to let everybody know, not only did you do the Robbie Knievel bike for us, you just manned up, and you never said no, and you just said you want to do it. So we had something else I want to touch base on, is you actually stepped forward and restored. Not only, you were supposed to just paint the tins on this bike.
Yeah.
For a veterans giveaway bike.
Yeah.
And you, as a man and a pioneer in the industry, that what you did is you manned up and you said, John, this bike, I mean, bottom line, it was shit when you got it.
Yeah, yeah.
And I mean, they bought it and they thought you were just going to paint the tins on it. And explain to us, I mean, what you did. Well, you restored this bike.
Yeah, it's the old adage.
Because you couldn't do it.
Putting lipstick on a pig. I mean, it's that's all it is. It's lipstick on a pig, right? So it's like, how do we, and then plus my name's on it. And in the past, I probably wouldn't have cared. Well, you guys pay me to do this.
Sure.
That's all I did. But it needed so much cosmetic work from the frame up that, and I got a crew at home that is fantastic, and everybody jumped in. I mean, they volunteered as well, all their time and effort that went into that bike.
Yeah.
Yeah, because of and plus what it was for, you know, we want our goal was on this particular bike was to represent all of the armed forces, you know. And it's like, well, how are you going to do that on a motorcycle? And so we did brainstormed it, and we went through a lot, and we came up with, I think, a pretty cool thing, and we nailed it. But I mean, you can't send something out that looks half-assed. I mean,
no,
I mean, I'm a professional. I just couldn't do it, you know.
And for those of you that don't understand, I mean, it's like, when you got this bike, and this is a bike that we're going to be giving away for Veterans Administration and stuff like that, and what he has going on, and the work is impeccable. We'll show it online here. We're going to actually debut the bike next week in Detroit,
right.
And give it away. But I mean, it just goes to show that I never received one phone call from this man here that says, hey, John, this is too much. We can't do it, and whatever. you just shipped it out, and we had so many time to do it. And you're like, yeah, we were. You had 2 days in a row where you stayed up straight before it got shipped out.
They were, and I can't do that very good anymore. 48 hours.
Yeah, and it's you brought it there, and you were actually on the phone. I could tell in your voice, you weren't mad. You were just still disappointed in yourself that you didn't get to finish it.
Yes,
and that's what this is all about.
I mean, it's, you know, we got it running way better. I mean, everything about it's better. There's just a couple little tiny things, but for show, it's perfect. And those little issues can be taken care of very quickly. But, you know, we made it on time. Anytime you put a time on anything, it adds pressure.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But that's part of the job, too. And I've always said this as a professional pinstriper lettering guy. I've been in the weirdest positions on cars. I've been on top of them, underneath them. I mean, I'm fortunate, you know, and I know a lot of guys out there, you know, where they say, well, I just can't do that.
Yeah.
But I'm not that kind of guy. It's like, if somebody's done it before, I can do it. I might not do it well.
Yeah.
But I'll do the best.
Oh, you're one of the best around.
Well, to say that you guys nailed it is an understatement.
Yeah, I'm real happy with it. And I had several Vietnam vets involved in this project to help with the design, to make sure that we're not offending anybody, but honoring, you know, our armed forces.
And those are another thing we need. Jess and I will get the list of the people that were on the list. So before we unveil it in Detroit, I want that list to be on.
Okay, yeah, for sure. And these guys, they actually teared up, you know, because they gave me a lot of suggestions on the design, and then they, when they seen it, they literally started bawling.
Oh yeah.
And so I think it's a bullseye. We hit the mark.
Yeah.
And then that's as an artist, that's our job.
It's our job to
hit the bullseye for what the people want. Mm-hmm. And it's not always possible, but
right.
I mean, that is what we do. Instead of you bring me something and you come pick it up and you're going, this ain't even close to what I was saying. But the artist is going, well, it looks good, don't it? Well, yeah, but it's not.
And going for it, and like you said, for one thing, I mean, we're if I were to send that bike anywhere else to get done to a body shop, the body shop isn't going to get a bike running like you did. So that was first and foremost. But even when the bike arrived, and, you know, we'll talk about the backyard delivery guy here, but that was crazy to me. But when the bikes came out and the Robbie bike came out, that was really emotional for me to have it delivered to my shop here in, you know, in Jackson, Wisconsin, and go to that stuff. But then that was neat. I mean, I've seen the bike a lot of times, and I only saw pictures of your tribute bike, you know, to the U.S. forces here and military. And then, but when that bike came out, and I still get choked up about it. Just when it came rolled out and the sun hit it and your paint and your artwork, I was just like, I was blown away, man.
Well, thanks. I appreciate that.
And now to have it in my shop is just like, I really don't want to see it leave.
Yeah, I know. It was a weird moment when it left out, because I spent so much. I know every inch of that bike. I know every bolt that's new in that bike. I know everything about that bike. And like I said, my brother Mark and Offie and some of the old, you know, we're old bikers, and that's an old, that's a 51-year-old shovelhead, you know.
Yeah, 51-year-old bike, man.
So it's like,
that's old. I'll be 50. God, it sucked.
Well, I always tell people, if you're 50 or 51 years old, how many times have you been poked and prodded and scars and doctors and everything else been in your life? Well, this bike's been worked on in every garage and on the map for the past 51 years, you know. So
it's a good way to tell people that, because it's just like, you know, like when you said, for like me and Jess joke around, you know, about, you know, doing this, eating healthy, exercise, and blah, blah, blah. And he said, you know, over 50 years, how much bad crap did you put in your body?
Exactly.
How much stupid shit did you do? Yeah. How many times you break a bone over? And then you go expect to go to some dude's garage with a 50-year-old bike. Well, it runs like crap.
I know. And
really? Dude, I saw you get out of the truck. How do you move over 51 years old?
It was like, literally like throwing a jigsaw puzzle on the floor, like a 2,000-piece jigsaw puzzle. And then well, where does this piece go? That's not even a factory piece, like, you know. It was not an easy job.
That speaks volumes not only to y'all's talent, but also your patience, because I probably would have been like
this one,
like after a half hour.
You'd walked away.
Ask my wife. This one put me through the wall, man. Mm-hmm. There was one night I was just ready to throw that thing. But it's all kind of part of the process as well, I believe. But anyway, but it was fun and I was honored and I think it hits the mark. And then we got a couple more surprises coming up by the end of this tour. So it'll be really cool. And I'm honored to be with you guys, man.
I think this will be one of the pinnacle moments in our history that we do with you and our Evel Knievel that you have going on, because you stepped up and, you know, we've got other big names that we're working with Foose and all these other guys and stuff like that. But and you and I joke about the timelines, and a lot of people on the outside looking in, they don't live the lives that we do, that there actually is a timeline. It's not just for TV. We get stuff thrown in the mix all the time. You know, Jess now lives this too with me. Well, can you go do this show? Can you do that show? Well, we got to drive 26 hours and stay up for 26 hours, drive 13 hours to get there to get it done. And I mean, you just are like one of my icons that I look up to, because you just go ahead and take it.
Oh yeah. To me, that's being professional. It's, you know, I mean, in your other businesses and like that, I mean, it's like the point of the matter, that's what's kind of disappointing in the, you know, I mean, service anymore is like a thing of the past. And when you say you're going to do something and it doesn't come about, that seems to be normal. To me, it's not supposed to be that way.
It's not supposed to be
that way. If I tell you that I'm going to do something and we're going to do it and we're going to do it on time. If we can't, then there's communication done, you know, that and it can all be worked out, but that's all being professional. And I am a professional pinstriper, and there's a big difference. You know, it's been 46 years but now, like I said, I'm older now. I can just kind of kick back and smile at everybody. Hey, who's the old guy in the corner?
I think, and I'll let Jess tell this one, but I think one of the yesterday after we were done with some filming and our work was done, you actually got to hang out. And I'll let Jess explain this one. You actually got to hang out with some of the pinstripe legends at Children's Hospital. And I think she had a lot of fun, didn't he?
He did.
Yeah, well, he was over by the pinstripe booth.
But I don't have a story to tell about.
Well, I thought you took him over there, didn't you? We saw him working.
I breezed through there because I get pulled like you do.
I know.
I wish I had a cool story to tell you.
Okay.
Well, I love those. That's my stomping ground. So, I got to meet a couple guys that I haven't met in all these years that I've been just dying to meet. I got to, you know, and then I love those. They're called a bullpen, you know, where you're over there striping and hanging out with
everybody.
Get to exchange ideas with each other and techniques and styles, and even to this day, I don't care how long you've been in this business, you're always learning, you know. Never get to a point where I'm king shit, because it's not true. We constantly learn, and actually the more we learn and the more we know, the more we know we don't know no shit, you know. It's like
man,
I still got a long way to go. And the talent out there today with the young people coming up is phenomenal. It's phenomenal. And what's phenomenal is the experience of life itself and the experience of doing what I've done all these years. That counts. You know, the experience, it's just like getting that bike. I had old guys, my team is old, but we're old guys that know exactly, we know exactly what we've seen it before, and we can fix this. And so the experience, I believe, is just as important as if you're a prodigy pinstriper, you know?
Yeah.
And, have you ever done this? Have you ever striped a building?
Yeah.
You know, have you ever striped underwater? Have you ever, it's like, holy shit, really? Like,
Yeah. And I think what I meant to say is the story that you had is like, we worked with the pinstripers before at Children's Hospital over there.
What you're getting at.
I thought you'd maybe, I kind of gave you a layup. All you do is go over. Sometimes. Obviously, what I meant to say is that we worked with them before. And obviously, Keith was getting some relaxation time to hang out. He was so excited. What I meant to say is, and I thought you would have got this, but
it's your fault because you just said what I meant to say.
Yeah, I know.
Are you guys married?
Oh, man. It's kind of like the famous, you know, thing. So I love you, but I ain't putting up with your shit till I'll see you tonight. She does it to me all the time. So, but the, like I said, it was so, you were like a little kid yesterday when you said, hey, man, I'm going to go hang out by the pinstripe.
Cool.
And you were so anxious to get over there.
Yeah.
And then I was walking around because I was, you know, doing another phone call. I walked over and I was doing laps and I called you over there. And there you were in the middle of everybody, just in your element, just having a great time.
Yeah,
man.
I love it.
And that's what I mean. You was just having a good time over there. And I said, you're doing good. He's like, heck yeah, man. They ran out of panels, but we're having fun. We're talking. Oh my God, it's so great catching up with these guys. Yeah. I know all these old timers, and we're talking last night. And so it was really cool to see that you got kind of double bonus to the show, having the Legends here doing that.
Yeah. They always have a great turnout, and that really warms my heart. Yeah. The amount of people that are willing to donate their time.
Yeah.
A lot of them had their heads down, like they were.
They're in it. Yeah.
And, oh, they do a lot. It's very hard work. Yeah.
In Detroit, I'll do the same thing. I'll disappear for a minute.
Yeah.
Where's he at? More than likely, he's either in the bathroom or he's over the pinstriping.
You'll be over the pinstripers. I know what you're buying, no dummy. Yeah, I didn't know dummy in there. Yeah. No, it's great. It's good. It's a great catching up with you. You're going to be in Detroit with us. I mean, we got a lot to do yet. We got a lot of other projects we're going to do together, and we're just getting started, man.
I can't wait for you guys to come to Salt Lake. That's my town. And
that's going to be a blast, yeah.
And it's a beautiful, great, organized show. We're going to have a good time there.
For good. Sure.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to get, we'll probably should get you going to a flight sometime pretty soon, too. You want to go home pretty soon, don't you?
Yeah. I'm sitting here getting nervous, like, holy shit. Without my wife, I'm a disaster. So that's
he admits it.
And
it's documented. Thank you.
I have to go back in there.
I didn't say anything that was wrong.
You guys are a great team. Don't get me wrong.
It's just like anything else. And again, you know, I'm probably one of the last ones in the world, you know, years ago, speak about relationships, how they work, being over two divorces. And everybody knows John Bagley, but it's like, you know.
Don't forget, I have, you know, 4 daughters, 6 granddaughters, 3 great granddaughters, and, you know, keep your mouth shut and your wallet open, and everything's still going to be okay.
I've learned that with the daughters before. And, you know, once you finally find what's going on and you kind of just let your walls down and do whatever. And we were both stubborn with each other when we first started and blah, blah, blah. But, you know, we support each other 100% on what we're doing like that. And we go, you know, you go through hell days and do whatever in high water. And it's like, it is so cool to even me being on the road and we're not together and stuff like that. And to make the phone call, or she'll call to me if we're not together. And it's just like to hear each other's voice and kind of like back each other up. It means the world. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. All my kids grew up in this environment.
Yeah.
And then my grandkids did as well. And they just love coming to the shows. And when they have time, I mean, they're all successful, amazingly, despite me, they're all amazing women who have been extremely successful, and they're extremely strong women.
That's very cool. Very proud to be father of that.
And I do promise you, I'd do anything for my kids and my grandkids.
Yeah.
It's funny when you got grandkids, it's like, I'd do anything in the world for them. They couldn't do anything wrong, but my children are different.
Absolutely.
Oh my God. Yeah. I mean, well, look at yesterday, Jess. I mean, the kids were here with the grandkids yesterday, and it's just like the girls, I can still, my daughters, I can still yell at them a little, but the grandkids, they can do no wrong.
Yeah. Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
They're just perfect. Man. It's just like, yeah. I mean, I got yelled at my daughter. I had to go take Aubrey to go buy some monster trucks yesterday. She's like, Dad, I'm like, what? Lucky I'm only about 2. Kept talking in a little cute little voice. Okay.
Well, you gotta let me sign your wall in here.
All right, we'll wrap it up. So everybody, we'll close out. Thanks for being on the show with us here today, sir.
Thank you, yeah, man.
We'll look forward to seeing you in Detroit.
See you later.
Sure. Well, I'll be able to go home for 3 days, and I'll be right back. And you guys get to pack up and travel. And yeah. I get all that, believe me. So be careful on your ride, man. Be safe.
We'll be safe, and we'll see you in Detroit, brother.
Okay.
So, all right. Thanks for being on the show.
Thank you.
Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Oh, look at that.